Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the special edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'm joined by my buddy here, Cole Shelton. We'll be breaking down a stacked card this weekend, UFC 245, Las Vegas. Cole, I'm going to be there. Can't wait for this card, man. Initial thoughts on this card. It's maybe the best card of the year on paper.
Yeah, I say it's the best card of the year on paper. Three title fights and three exciting title fights. And then the main card, like, although Moraes could headline a card, like Faber-Yan could be right up there on a co-main, even like a third fight from the top on a pay-per-view to open that as a pay-per-view, to have like Mike Perry, Jeff Neal, Matt Brown, Ben Saunders be on the prelims, like this card's, even the early prelims has such good matchup that should be on prelims on any other pay-per-view.
Oh yeah. This is sick. Like I said, this is my first time in Vegas, so I think I picked a pretty good card to go to, Cole. Obviously, there's a big one next month, too. It's crazy how many good cards they've had lately. But, yeah, I can't wait, man. I'm so excited, and I'll definitely be telling everyone about how my trip goes. I'm going to still be doing the podcast, just not sure what times I'll be doing that, but I'll still be doing the shows, and I'll be recapping it live from Vegas, which is going to be pretty sweet. So I can't wait for that. But, yeah, let's talk about this card because, man, it's one hell of a card. We'll be breaking down each and every fight in the card, starting from the prelims, working our way up as usual. Okay, so first fight of the night, Cole. Middleweight bout between Punahele Soriano and Oscar Pechoda. Opening odds had Soriano -145, Pechoda +115. Right now, they've tightened up a bit. Actually, they flipped somehow. They flipped, surprisingly. Pechoda is -120. Soriano's +100. So Soriano's a slight underdog now. These lines will probably keep flipping until fight day. But what's your initial take on this fight?
I think to get Soriano as an underdog is huge value here. I'm really high on Soriano. He had that massive win over Jamie Pickett in the Contender Series. That was a really impressive win. Jamie Pickett's a tough guy. Pechoda, I just haven't been impressed with him. His last two fights, he's been submitted. Soriano has some submission wins, so I think that's the key to victory. Is I think Soriano needs to get down to the ground, get a submission over Pechoda, because he's shown, obviously, Gerald Mishart, he's known as a submission artist. Vieira, same thing, but he just hasn't looked impressive in his last two fights. He's only fought once a year, but this will be his second fight of 2019. But I'm just high in Soriano. I think he's going to remain undefeated. I think he's going to get a submission win here.
Yeah, this is like the Matt Sales-Bryce Mitchell fight last week, Cole. Like, I just don't understand the action. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know what people see in Pechoda here. I like Soriano a lot. I'm with you, man. I didn't expect to have our consensus dog in the night in the first fight, but I think we might have one here because I like Soriano a lot. I think he should be, you know, clearly favored in this fight. He is a really good prospect, undefeated. He's actually training out of Extreme, so he's a local guy right now. I expect him to have a great performance here. He looked really good in the Contender Series. Didn't get a finish, but all his other wins were by finish. Dana White likes this guy. And I think that having knockoff the finish on the show, I think he's going to be highly motivated to go here and just finish Pechoda and end him here. Pechoda's had, obviously, some good performances in the past. But his two wins in the UFC over Tim Williams, Jonathan Wilson, those are two of the worst guys. They're even on the roster anymore. And then in the two losses, Vieira and Mishart, yeah, those guys are solid. So no shame in those losses, but he was finished in both of them. I don't know. I'm not too impressed by this guy, Cole. I'm going to be honest, man. I don't see a lot out of him, and I think he loses. I like Soriano, man. I think he can get a finisher. If not, he'll win decision. But, yeah, +100. I don't understand the line action. Maybe I'm not seeing something here, but I like Soriano. And I think we have a consensus dog in the first fight of the night, which I did not expect. Because when I looked at the line last night, Soriano was a favorite. So somehow it flipped. Anyways, let's go to the next fight. Women's flyweight bout between Jessica Ai and Vivian Araújo. Opening odds had Araújo -200 and Ai +160. Right now we have Araújo -170, Ai +150. Who's your pick?
Yeah, that's an interesting fight. Obviously, Ai's coming off that devastating knockout loss to Shevchenko earlier this year.
Yep.
Araújo has looked really good. Alexis Davis was kind of that step up. And I don't think she didn't impress as I thought she would against Alexis Davis. And Jessica Ai is a girl that can just get you into her kind of fight, get you into that point fighting style like she did Chagan and just edge out decisions, which I think there is value on Ai here. I think she might be able to do that. But I like Araújo here. I just think she's younger. She showed more in her last couple fights. I'll pick her by decision, but I would not be shocked if Ai just edged out like a split decision or a decision just by winning on points.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling the same as you. You know, Araújo, everyone thinks she's a prospect, but she's the same age as I. They're both 33, so she's not really a prospect. She's just kind of new to the UFC. I was at her first fight in the UFC, Cole, against Bernardo, and she knocked her out of Brazil. So that was a pretty good knockout. And then the Davis fight, she got the win, but it wasn't the most impressive performance. She's on a five-fight win streak, though, so she has a lot of momentum heading this fight. No doubt she's been more impressive. coming off that knockout loss, but she had three wins before that, and she does have the ability to win a really ugly, boring fight in the feet, and I think that could happen here. So I'm going to pass to you. I'm with you on this one. I think Araújo probably wins the fight, probably decision if I had to guess, because I do think it goes the distance. I wouldn't be shocked if I pulled it off either. So my pick's Araújo by decision, Cole, but I'm not betting on this fight. I don't see any value really in her as a minus 170 favorite. Next up, we have a really exciting flyweight bout. You know what? You talk about sleeper fights for Fight of the Night, Cole. Don't be shocked if this one's in contention for Fight of the Night. Great fight here. Kay Kara France and Brandon Moreno, flyweight bout. Opening odds had France minus 130, Moreno plus 100. Right now we have, I should say, Kara France minus 155 and Moreno plus 135. Who's your pick?
I like Kai Kara France here. I'm really high on him. I think he's going to be a title challenger. I think he's only going to be a fight or two away after this one. Obviously, Brandon Moreno's tough. He had that draw against Askar Askarov back in the UFC, which was good for that one. But Kara France is just on a roll, like Mark De La Rosa, Paiva, Garcia. This is kind of a step up for him. He's looked impressive, though, against De La Rosa. He dominated that fight. Comes from a good gym at City Kickboxing. He spent a lot of time working with Volkanovski and like Brad Riddell, and Hooker was helping him a bit in this camp. So he has a lot of momentum going in this fight just with the gym, but I think he's going to pick up a win here and be right in title contention after this. But I think it goes the distance, though.
Yeah, well, most flyweight fights do, typically, and I think, especially with Kara France, most of his fights go the distance, and Moreno as well. So, yeah, I'm with you on this one. I like Kara France as well. This guy is on a nice roll right now. He's on an 8-fight win streak. He's looked really good in the UFC, 3 straight wins. Garcia, Paiva, De La Rosa. But you're right, this is a step up. Moreno's a very solid fighter. He's coming off that draw against Askarov, which was a great fight, a close fight. He's a guy that was obviously released by the UFC for some reason when they were cutting on their flyweights. I'm glad they brought him back. He's a talented guy. He has some good wins in his career. He has more experience than Kara France against a higher level of competition. But I think Kara France, with the momentum he has, Cole, he's going to win this fight. So I'm with you. I think Kara France wins a decision. Just checking the odds on that, because I think that's pretty likely. Yeah. Plus 110. I don't know. I'd rather just take him straight up. I think he wins this fight. I like him quite a bit, actually, to win this fight. It should be a good one. But yeah, Kara France by decision. Next up, we have a featherweight bout between Daniel Tamer and Chase Hooper. Opening odds had Hooper minus 155, Tamer plus 125. Current odds have Hooper minus 115, Tamer minus 105. So essentially a pick 'em. A lot of the books actually have it at minus 110 apiece. But yeah, Hooper, slight lean here at the odds. Who do you like here, man?
Now, this is another fight I'd stay away betting-wise just because we don't know what Chase Hooper is going to look like in the UFC. He's only 20 years old. I'll favor Hooper. I've been more impressed with him. Tamer is a guy that's been really inconsistent. Like, he had the 3 losses in a row to Henry, Arce, and Fishgold to start his UFC career. I was surprised he even got that 4th fight of going 0-3. Picked up a win over Sungbin Cho, but I think this is a slow build with Chase Hooper. I hope the UFC doesn't rush him if he gets this win. He needs to fight a lot of the lower-end guys, being 20 and work his way up, but I don't know. I've just been impressed. He has a lot of submission wins. That's where Tamer's been caught before on the ground, so I think Hooper might be able to get submissions. I'll pick Hooper, but I'd probably stay away from this just because we don't know how a 20-year-old's going to look in the UFC.
I think you're making a good point. Yeah, he is young, but the guy is talented, man. 8-0-1 record. He looked really good in the Contender Series, and then since then, he's actually fought 3 times, and he's won 2 of the fights, had a draw. Most of his wins are by stoppage. He's one of these like guys that are like naturals of the sport, I think, and he's like a sponge. He's learning so fast too. So I really like him. I haven't been impressed with Tamer at all, man. He's 7-3 in his career, just 1-3 in the UFC. He did beat Joe Cole, but I feel like that was Joe beating himself. That was an awful fight. Joe did nothing in that fight. Very disappointing. And the 3 losses, stoppages against Fishgold and Arce, and the loss to Henry. And honestly, Fishgold and Henry are like barely hanging on the roster. So I don't know. I haven't been impressed at all. I know that Hooper's 20, he's making his debut. That obviously is a red flag right there. But man, I think like right now the odds are pretty low. I think that the odds at open were more like reasonable as far as how I view the fight. At -115, I think there could be some value here on Chase Hooper. Again, it is kind of taking a risk because he doesn't have the UFC experience yet, but I like him, Cole. I think he wins this fight, man. I'm impressed with this kid, and I think he's gonna get the win over Tamer. This is a gatekeeper he's fighting, and I think he passes his test. And I'm with you. I hope they don't rush him, but I don't think they will because there's just so many guys at 145 right now. They're talented. They'll take the slow build with this kid, and this is a good step into it's a good step up for his first fight in the octagon.
Well, what's funny too is if he wins, he won't even be able to go out anywhere and celebrate. He'll just have to go back to the hotel.
He's like you, dude.
Yeah.
Next up, we have a okay. Well, I got to be honest. So I said this was my favorite fight in the card. I'm not joking. Like, people are like, you're kidding, right? No, this fight is sick. This is a sick fight for old school fans of the sport. People have been watching it for 15 years. This is an amazing fight. I know both guys are on the downside of their career. I understand. I know there's like amazing title fights in this card, but like, this is the fight that like I want to see really bad. I know it's crazy, but I love this matchup. Matt Brown against Ben Saunders. Cole, this fight's sick. It's an amazing fight. These guys are both talented, entertaining guys who put on shows for the fans, and I can't wait to see what happens. Been watching these guys for years. If I'm not mistaken, were they both on Ultimate Fighter Season 6? I think they were, right? Tough Season 6. Let me pull that out here. I know, obviously, Saunders was on it.
No, Brown was on 7.
Okay, he's on 7? Okay, so there you go. But they're still, like, they've both been in the UFC for, you know, over 12 years. So, really impressive runs for these careers for these guys. You know, Saunders, obviously, coming off a tough couple losses here, but still, you know, it's a fun fight. Anyways, let me get into the lines here. Opening odds had Matt Brown at -350, Saunders +275. Right now we have Matt Brown -345, Ben Saunders +285. Give me your thoughts on the matchup itself, Cole, and then give me your pick.
Yeah, the matchup really interesting. I think the line's a bit too high on Matt Brown, just because Brown hasn't fought since 2017, but that was one of the best, like that elbow knockout on Sanchez in the clinch. That was such a sick knockout. Saunders obviously coming off the 3 losses in a row, two straight knockout losses, then one submission loss. But you don't really know. Brown hasn't fought in, what, over two years. It's going to be interesting to see how he looks, but I still favor Matt Brown. I think he's the better striker. I think this fight's going to remain on the feet. I think Brown has the power where he can knock out Ben Saunders here and pick up a knockout win.
Yeah, the line's too high. -345, like that's too high, in my opinion. Matt Brown, he hasn't fought in over 2 years now. Yeah, the Sanchez fight was impressive, Colby, but before that, he had lost 3 straight fights by stoppage. So Matt Brown is a very good fighter. Don't get me wrong. This guy, man, he rose from the dead. Like, this is a guy that he had some good fights in UFC in his early going on, and then he had a bunch of losses. They were going to cut him. He came back, started winning. He didn't leave, but he just started winning fights and went on that nice roll. I think he's kind of hit his ceiling. He's like a high-end gatekeeper, if anything. Like, he has that win over Means from a few years ago, which was a good fight, too. The guy's so much fun to watch. But, yeah, I mean, Saunders, the problem with him is his durability, obviously. Like, he gets stopped a lot, and he's lost 5 of his last 6, all of them by knockout or submission. So I have to pick Ben. I have to pick Matt Brown. I have to, just because Saunders doesn't have the ability really to absorb punishment anymore. But does Matt Brown really either? Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Ben Saunders landed a liver kick and knocked Matt Brown out. Like, he gets knocked out to the body sometimes, and he hasn't fought in 2 years, Cole. So my pick's going to be Matt Brown. I think he does probably finish Ben Saunders, but I would not lay -345 Matt Brown. I would rather take a shot on Ben Saunders as a dog, but I don't trust him either. So this is just a fight I'm going to watch and enjoy, man. I think someone's going to get finished in brutal fashion, probably in the first round. I can't wait to watch it. And, you know, it could be the end of the loser's career. So, you know, it's going to be a really interesting fight to see. But, yeah, I absolutely love this matchup. I think the winner of this fight, you know, could very well be in line for a bonus award when it's all said and done. Next up, we have a middleweight bout between Ian Heinisch and Omari Akhmedov. And I got to be honest, Cole, this fight probably is one of the more less entertaining fights in the card, if you ask me. I feel like this could be a grind. But opening odds had Heinisch -130, Akhmedov +100. Right now, we have Heinisch -150, Akhmedov +130. Who's your pick?
I like Ian Heinisch here. I think he's just going to grind out Omari Akhmedov. He's just going to use his cardio. I know everyone says, oh, he faded against Brunson. I talked to him. He said he almost pulled out because he had a really bad infection like weeks before the fight, and it just kept it going at him. So he could. That's why he went so hard in the first round, because he knew he probably wouldn't go the 3 rounds. He just tried to get that finish. I like Heinisch, though. He's been impressive. That Carlos Jr. win is still really impressive. Dominic Cesar Ferreira. Akhmedov, his last 2 wins are Tim Ocean, Zach Cummins, but they were boring fights. Come with you. I think this is probably going to be one of the more boring fights on the card, but I got Ian Heinisch by decision here.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be a grind, and I'm with you. I think Heinisch does end up grinding decision. No, the last fight wasn't very good, but I have watched the interviews with him. He had some reasons for the cardio not being there. It is what it is. I think, you know, we've had enough of the sample size, and this guy does have a good guess, Hank. And Akhmedov, he comes out strong, but he does tend to fade as the fight's going. I know he's been on a nice little run here, though, so I guess I'm not as confident as you as Heinisch that he does win the fight, but I am going to pick him. I think Heinisch does win the decision here. I personally wouldn't bet on it, because I could see Akhmedov kind of pulling off a close fight. He does end up going a distance a lot, and a lot of his fights are very, very close. Next up, we have a women's bantamweight belt between Caitlin Vieira and Irene Aldana. So Caitlin Vieira rising from the ashes here. She hasn't fought in forever, and she takes on Aldana. Interesting fight. Opening odds had Vieira minus 245, Aldana plus 195. Right now, we have Vieira minus 165, Aldana plus 145. So people have been betting on Aldana so far. Who's your pick?
Yeah, I just have to pick the underdog on Aldana here. Caitlin Vieira, I don't know why she's ranked so high. I just have never been impressed with her. Like, look at her win. She has a split over Kat Zingano, a submission over Sarah McMahon, win over Ashley Evans-Smith, and win over Kelly Fashholes. I don't only think Sarah McMahon's still in the UFC out of those four. So, like, and she hasn't fought since March of 2018. It's almost been 2 years. Irene Aldana's been active. She fought Vanessa Mello in September. Split against Raquel Pennington that could win either way. A submission over Betch Gorjea. This is her fourth fight in 2019. She's been active. She's a long fighter. She's 5'9". Where the reaches are similar, I guess. I thought she was a bit bigger, but I just looked. She only has a half-inch reach, but I just like Aldana striking. I think she can keep this fight on the feet. I think she'll edge out a decision. But I just think the value's on Aldana here just because Vieira hasn't fought in so long. And she's been dealing with bad knee injuries, so I don't really know how she's going to look in this one.
Yeah, the line probably was too high at the open. My pick, I'm going to lean towards Vieira a little bit. The undefeated record, and she has beaten higher level competition like Zingano and McMahon. I know they're fading now, but at the time they were good wins. The layoff scares me, Cole. Like, almost 2 years. Like, that's a long time. So there's no way in hell I'd bet on Vieira here. The opening line was too high. The thing with Aldana is, like, she does look really good at times, and I've been high on her for a while, but that Pennington fight, that wasn't the kind of performance that I want to see out of her. And, you know, I feel like she can get taken down by Vieira here and just kind of grind it out. So it's going to be a close fight. I wouldn't be surprised if you're right and Aldana actually pulls it off because she probably does have a slight striking advantage, but I just feel like Vieira's going to take her down and hold her there and grind a decision out. I'm not looking forward to this fight that much either, but it is what it is. My pick's going to be Caitlin Vieira by decision. I just want to say there's a comment here. Kenshiro Rio Dojo. Ben Saunders is the overrim of the welterweight division. He's kind of a glass cannon, and you're right about that. I mean, either finishes or he gets finished himself. Unfortunately, both guys have durability issues, but both guys are putting on, for the most part, exciting fights. All right. Main event of the prelims, Cole, and you talk about fighting like contenders. I mean, this is definitely up there. Mike Perry versus Jeff Neal. This fight is sick. Great fight. Love this matchup. Opening odds at Jeff Neal minus 155, Platinum Perry plus 125. Right now we have Jeff Neal is a huge favorite, minus 250, Platinum Perry plus 210. Who's your pick, and what do you think of the odds swinging so high in Neal's favor?
I'm not surprised the odds are. I'm really high on Jeff Neal. I think he's going to pick apart Mike Perry. I don't think Mike Perry's striking is that good. I think Jeff Neal's the way more technical boxer. Perry's going to make it look like a brawl. And we saw against Jeff Neal and Nico Price, when it was starting to get a brawl, you heard Saif Sahood really yell at Neal, and he backed out and made a more technical fight. I think that's what it's going to be against Mike Perry. I think he's going to pick apart Mike Perry for three rounds. Might be able to get a knockout, but Perry's a tough guy to knock out. But I'm really high on Jeff Neal. I think this is an opponent that's going to really elevate his name, and I think he's going to win a decision. I think this could easily be the fight of the night.
Yeah, this fight's sick, and I like his fight of the night too, probably, because both guys are really durable, especially Mike Perry. Like, he can take a ton of damage and keep on ticking, but, man, I got to go with Jeff Neal. I mean, this guy is – he's an unbelievable fighter, and he actually – I think he told James he quit his job, so he's training full-time now. This guy was working a full-time job, I think, or as a server or part-time anyways. He wasn't even training full-time, Cole. So now he's 100% focused. He got that bonus over Price in his last fight. He's been waiting to get back in there for a while. The guy's been super impressive. He's on a six-fight win streak. Look at his wins in the UFC. Nico Price by stoppage. That looks really good. Bilal Muhammad, he beat him pretty good. Frank Camacho knocked him out with a head kick. Brian Camozzi, I mean, that guy's not great, but still, like, really good run, and he's getting better and better. Mike Perry, he's a fun fighter to watch. He's an entertaining guy, but very inconsistent. I think he's 6-5 in the UFC, if I'm not mistaken. He's just kind of up and down and up and down. And I think in this fight, he's going to lose. So my pick's Jeff Neal. I think the odds actually were too low at open. I think that the bettors are right to raise it up a bit. Minus 250 is, I think that's a good spot now. But I think, you know, you go over minus 300, that's probably a bit too high. But I do think right now, That's reasonable. I think Jeff Neal wins this fight. I do like him to win, probably by decision, Cole, because Perry is very durable. And Neal by decision is actually plus 215. I think there's a very good chance of that happening. There's another question here. Kenshiro Rio Dojo. Didn't you know Mike Perry's on this card? UFC 245 is stacked. Yep. I think Perry could win this. Jeff Neal reminds me of a giraffe about to get his head knocked off. We'll see. But I like Jeff Neal. All right, time for the main card, Cole. Great main card. Probably one of the best main cards, like, arguably ever. Like, this card is amazing. Incredible card. First fight on the main card. Bantamweight bout. Peter Yan against Uriah Faber. Great fight. And I should mention, there's two Bantamweight fights in this card. We had two this week as well, this past weekend. Henry Cejudo is supposed to be back in March, so I think one of these guys is going to have an impressive performance, and Cejudo's going to call the motor. They're going to call Cejudo. They're going to make that fight. They got to get Cejudo back in action. Hopefully, he can heal up and get going. But anyways, as far as this fight goes, interesting matchup here. We have open Peter Yan minus 165, Faber plus 185. And right now, the odds have been steamed up. Peter Yan is actually minus 470 Yan, or Faber's plus 375. So odds are very much in Yan's favor. Who's your pick?
I like Peter Yan, but I wouldn't bet him at that price because Uriah Faber surprised against Reese Owen with the knockout. And the thing is, Peter Yan got rocked in John Dodson, and he was hurt in that fight. I think Faber probably has more power. And if he has Yan hurt, I think he could really capitalize on the ground and go for the submission. But I think Peter Yan's striking. He's the more technical boxer. I think he's going to pick apart Faber. I think he's going to grind out a decision. I don't think he'll be able to finish Faber. Faber's a tough guy to finish, but I think it's going to be a dominating, like, 30-27 for Peter Yan here.
Yeah, I really like this matchup. I think the odds are a little high now, though. Like, minus 470 is pushing it. Faber looked amazing against Ricky Simon, who's a solid fighter. Not a great fighter, but solid. And he's also got way more experience against, like, elite competition. And he's been fighting forever. That's the one problem, though. He's 40. We all know that. But he surprised us all cool in the last fight. I was shocked he won that fight like he did. And Yan, he's looked amazing. Don't get me wrong. He's coming off, obviously, nice 8-5 win streak, 5 wins in the UFC. But the Jimmy Rivera fight, Cole, like, he got dropped a few times in that fight. It wasn't, or he not get dropped, but he was getting outpointed anyways. And he was on the way to losing, but he, you know, was able to drop Rivera at the end of the rounds and pick up the decision. I think Faber's going to be a little bit more competitive than a lot of us think. The line's a little too high, in my opinion, but I do have to favor Peter Yan. He's the younger guy by 14 years. That's huge. He's on a nice win streak here. He's got tons of momentum. And I think this kid is legit. I think he is a title contender. I think he just didn't have a great performance his last time out. But I think the guy we saw against, like, Dodson and Andrade, that's the guy that I believe he is going to show up in this fight. So my pick's going to be Peter Yan. I think you're right, Cole. Probably decision, because Faber is very durable. I guess it wouldn't shock me if Yan knocked him out, but I do favor Yan probably to grind the decision out. Next up, we have another bantamweight bout. Interesting fight here. Jose Aldo making the drop down at 135, taking on Marlon Moraes, the number one contender. Very interesting fight. The winner of this fight probably gets a title shot, if you ask me, I mean, especially if it's Aldo. But opening odds had Moraes minus 175, Aldo plus 135. Right now we have Moraes minus 200, Aldo plus 170. Give me your pick.
I like Marlon Moraes here. I don't like the weight cut at all for Jose Aldo. I'm one of the few. I think Aldo's going to make weight. I don't think he's going to make look good at it, though. I know a lot of people are thinking, you know, he's going to be 140. I think he's probably going to be like 135 and a half. But I don't can't trust the chin if you're cutting that much weight at that old. I think Moraes hits hard. He's knocked out a lot of people. The Sunset win, although it was a submission, it was pretty much a knockout. He dropped him, and then instead of going for punches, he just went for the choke. I think it's going to be a similar fight than Sunset. I think Moraes is going to get Aldo out there in the first or second round and look impressive, but he won't be able to get the title shot. I think Yan's going to get it if Moraes wins.
Yeah, I think you're selling Aldo short, man. I think a lot of people are. Aldo is still, like, one of the greatest fighters of all time. I'm not ready to write this guy off just because he lost to Volkanovski and Holloway and those guys. He had those nice wins over Stevens, McCannell. This guy has beaten everyone. Like, he's a legend, man. I'm with Conor McGregor. Like, I think he makes weight fine, and I think he actually is doing it the right way. Conor's right. Like, he's not having a crash cut. He's doing it gradually. I'm not like everyone freaking out about the weight cut. I think there's value here at Aldo. I mean, I could be completely wrong. Moraes is an incredible fighter, and it wouldn't shock me if he won. I mean, look at the run he was on before. Like, I could be completely wrong, Cole. I just think people are selling Aldo short. Plus 170, I have to take a shot on Jose Aldo here. The guy's a legend, man. Give me plus 170. I got to take a shot on him. Give me Jose Aldo, man. I think he can win this fight. I don't know if it's going to be a stoppage or a decision, but it's going to be interesting to see. You know, I might be completely wrong about this, but I got to go with my gut here. I think Aldo has value as a dog. All right, let's go to the title fights, Nicole. Three title fights in this card, which is obviously extremely rare. Let me get to the questions first, actually. Kenshiro Rude Dojo has two questions here. Faber wants to retire, but 10 failing businesses and getting $345,000 per fight. He is forced to keep fighting. It's hard enough to run one successful small business, and Mayweather with the 10 businesses. Marlon will learn his lesson for Triple C fight. We'll tire anyway, Jose Aldo. We'll see what happens. All right, let's talk about the first one. And Are you surprised this wasn't the co-main event, or does this make sense to you? No?
No, I think Holloway Volkanovski's the bigger fight. I think that should be the co-main. Yep. And if you go by weights too, that's what they normally do. So
yeah, normally, right? Not when Conor's fighting, that's for sure. Yeah, we got a rematch here between Amanda Nunes and Jermaine Duranemi for the UFC bantamweight title, women's bantamweight title. Opening odds had Nunes -303, Duranemi +225. Right now we have Nunes -280, Duranemi +240. Who's your pick?
You got to go with the GOAT. I got Amanda Nunes here. I think this is a good style match for Jermaine Duranemi. I think she's the kickbox background. I think it's going to be mostly striking, but I think if Nunes is smart, which she is, she's going to use her wrestling, because we saw in the first fight, she caught the kick of GDR, took her down, ground pound her out. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a similar outcome of that and just grinds out, or gets a TKO win, probably in the second or third round, defends the title.
Yeah, I like Nunes a lot. The line's too low. Like, I don't understand why the line's so low. -280, really? Like, I think she should be -500. Well, I don't see Duranemi have anything for Nunes in this fight. First off, we've seen this fight. It was 6 years ago, yes, 2013. And Nunes took down Duranemi, beat the hell out of her, and got the first round TKO. You know, since then, Nunes has gotten even better. Like, she's the most dangerous women's fighter ever. She's on, look at this win streak she's on, Cole. 9-0. I was talking about that this in my earlier podcast today, but look at this win streak, Cole. Holly Holm by knockout, Chris Cyborg by knockout, Ronda Rousey by knockout, Misha Tate by submission, Valentina Shevchenko, two decision wins over her, knockout over Pennington, submission over McMahon, knockout over Baszler. Like, that win streak's insane, and she has that win over Demandy by knockout as well. She's incredible. She also has the knockout win over Julia Budd. We have to mention that too. Like, this, she's amazing. Duranemi, she's on a nice win streak. She did look obviously good against Ladd, I mean, for what we saw. And then she had those nice wins over, like, the Holly Holm fight was very impressive too. But, you know, she's 35. I don't think she's getting better. I think she's the same fighter. She's still good. She could beat most of the women in this division. I just think she's going to get taken down and beaten up. I don't think Nunes is going to stand with her. Why would she? She can take her down and win.
Well, and, dude, what's impressive is all those wins you mentioned, first round. She has beat every single person that's held the bantamweight title in the first round.
Dude, she also has a win over, and someone mentioned this to me today, or sorry, the question I got in my email today, is a win over every champion in UFC bantamweight, featherweight, and flyweight history. That's incredible, Cole. She's the greatest ever, man. She is. I don't see Duranemi having anything for her. I mean, she does have knockout power. Don't get me wrong. She could catch her, I guess, Nunes. But I think Nunes dominates the fight, Cole. -280, Cole, is low. Like, I think she should be bigger favorite. Don't you agree with me on that one, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think there's value here. I know it's crazy because she's still -280, but I think there's value because I think she should be -500. I like Amanda Nunes. I think she wins by stoppage, like, early on in the fight, Cole, first or second round. I don't think she takes too long. She gets Duranemi down, beats the hell out of her, and wins by stoppage, probably by TKO punches, but I wouldn't be surprised if she does actually end up getting a submission. And I got Marcus. I'm surprised Adam's picking Aldo over Marlon, considering how many times we have seen Aldo look like death, cutting 145. Aldo will not make 135 or leave, so you see 245 in the stretcher. Well, we'll see what happens, Marcus, but I think you guys are writing off Aldo too soon. I could be wrong. I mean, I'm wrong half the time anyways. We all are. But, yeah, I mean, I think Aldo's being written off way too soon. The guy's a legend. He needs to get some more respect from betters here, I think. All right, time for the main event, Cole. UFC featherweight title fight. If you want, you can talk about your interview quickly with Volkanovski. Anything you want to say about that?
Yeah, Volkanovski is confident in this one. Like, just –
yeah,
like, you can tell, I can tell a lot of the time what fighters think. And even, like, I just said, like, how do you see this fight going? And right off the bat, he didn't even hesitate. He's like, I'm going to finish him. Like, yeah, there's no question in his mind. He's going out there. He's going to try to wrestle Holloway, which I think that was, because I was asking him, like, oh, well, how do you think you do it then? And he's like, oh, we have a special game plan for this one. We've really looked at all Holloway's fights. I think Volkanovski's a better wrestler. I think he has the power. I think he's going to have to try to knock out
Holloway. Oh, let me set the fight first for you. I just want to talk about your interview. Let me set the matchup up. Okay, so, yeah, co-main event, UFC featherweight title between Holloway and Volkanovski. Opening odds, -200 Holloway, Volkanovski +150 at open. Right now we have Max Holloway -170, Volkanovski +150. So lines tightened a little bit, but still Max is the favorite. Now you can break down the fight. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like I said before, I think he has the wrestling advantage. I think he has the power advantage. But will he be able to go – we've never seen Volkanovski go five rounds, and will he be able to handle the insane pressure of Max Holloway? Like Holloway throws in like 6, 7, 8 combinations with ease, which I think Volkanovski's gonna win the first and second round, but I think from third, fourth, fifth are gonna be all Max Holloway. I think it's gonna be similar to Ortega where he's just gonna pick apart Ortega in the later rounds. I think he might be able to get a late finish, but you have to go Anstill. I think Holloway's one of the best featherweights of all time. I think he's going to get a decision win here and defend his belt.
Yeah, this is an interesting fight. I mean, I'm super high on Volkanovski. I know you are too, Cole. The guy is fantastic. 17-fight win streak, 7-0 in the UFC. Just beat Aldo. He beat Mendez. He looked incredible. But, man, Max Holloway is a different cat, man. Like, this guy is just fantastic. The moves at 155 was not a good move. I don't know. Dana White was like, oh, he's got to move up in weight. Like, I didn't agree with that from the get-go, Cole. I didn't really like him moving up, to be completely honest with you. I liked him staying at 145. And I think that fight against Poirier, he just didn't put out enough muscle for that point of the fight. Like, he needed to take more time off between fights to, like, really get prepared for that move up in weight. But, you know, at featherweight, I don't think anyone beats him. Like, look at his resume. Like, you talk about the featherweight go. I mean, Aldo probably is. But Holloway's giving him run for his money. 2 wins by knockout over Aldo. He got the win over Ortega by knockout. Frankie Edgar, Anthony Pettis, Lamas, Stevens, Swanson, Oliveira, like Feely. Like this this guy's amazing, Cole. I like Holloway, man. I think he wins. I think he's going to outpoint Volkanovski. Probably keeps on the feet, picks him apart at range, wins the decision. My biggest question with Volkanovski, Cole, what happens when the fight goes to round 4 and 5? Like, we haven't seen him go there. He has, I think, two fourth-round wins in his career, back in the early days of his career, but not against UFC-caliber opponents. If the fight goes late, that's Max Holloway's wheelhouse. I think Volkanovski might be able to win maybe the first round or something just by pushing Max against the fence, but I do think eventually he's going to get tired and Max is just going to start, you know, really unloading on him. That cardio is his biggest weapon, his range. I think it looks like the Brian Ortega fight, Cole. He just beats him the punch and just, you know, his face is going to get battered. Max Holloway by decision. Wouldn't surprise me if he does get like a doctor stoppage kind of TKO late in the fight. All right, time for the main event of the evening. Welterweight title fight. Kamaru Usman looking to defend his belt against Colby Covington in a grudge match. And crazy thing is, Cole, these guys both have identical records, 15-1. So incredible fight. One of the best welterweight title fights we've seen in a while. Opening odds at Usman -300, Covington +230. Right now we have Usman -175, Covington +155. So some action coming in, obviously, on the underdog, Colby Covington. Since the opener, Cole, give me your pick in the main event of UFC 245.
Well, what's interesting about this fight, too, so both their losses, like Covington lost to Orly Alves, Usman beat Alves, and then Usman lost to a guy in the regional scenes that Covington beat. So it's kind of weird, like, because they both were on the Florida regional scenes. They have a lot of common opponents in the regional scene. They have a lot of common opponents in the UFC. Out of those common opponents, I think Colby Covington's looked better. I think he's going to win this fight. I think his cardio and pressure, I think that's more impressive than Kamaru Usman. I think Usman's going to win the first maybe round or two just with his strength and going up in the clinch. But I think he's going to fight emotional. I think Covington's in his head. I think he's going to go out, try to look for the knockout. I think he's going to gas out. And we've never seen Usman be on his back foot, which I think is going to frustrate him a lot in this fight. I think Covington's going to be right from the start of the first round, be on Usman and make him go backwards, which I don't know how Usman's going to fight that way. I don't think either of them are going to get a finish. It's going to go the distance, but I think Covington's probably going to grind out like 3-2 on the scorecards.
Yeah, really interesting fight for sure. And both guys, pretty similar fighters, both grapplers, both have really good gas tanks. I've been pretty good at picking these guys' fights. I did have Usman as the dog in Swordley, so I think I know how good this guy is. Like, he is a very dangerous guy. He's on a really nice win streak, obviously, since the one loss to Caceres that you mentioned. And Covington also a nice win streak as well since the loss to Alves. So just two guys really at the height of their careers right now. And it's a very interesting matchup. Two guys that are primarily grapplers, and they're both elite grapplers. So when that happens, as we know, a lot of times the fight stays standing. I feel like it could look kind of like that Johnny Hendricks GSP fight where it took place in the feet for the most part. So really interesting fight, Cole. I think it's going to go the distance. I'm pretty sure both guys are going to be able to go the full 5 rounds. But, you know, I'm with you. I think Covington is going to win this fight. I believe that the cardio is slightly in his advantage. I think striking volume, I think that's going to be the biggest difference. Look at the fight with Robbie Lawler. I feel like that's going to happen here. I think he's just going to pour on the volume and just really get to Kamaru Usman, especially later in the fight. I think Usman will eventually slow down. I know he didn't against Woodley, but I feel like in this fight he might. So great fight. Love the matchup. Both guys are tremendous fighters. Would I be surprised if Usman won? No, because he's amazing. But I like Colby. I think he wins this fight, Cole. He beat Colby Covington by decision. Just looking at the odds on that one, Colby Covington by decision, plus 265. I do think there's some value there, but just in general, I think as a dog, we both like him here. We both like Soriano. So those are our two dogs we're looking at to book in the card, actually, Cole. So yeah, I do think Covington wins this fight. And we have another question here. Covington, better wrestler, better gas tank, mean guy in the cage. Usman is stronger. Great fight. Let's see. Yeah, let's see what happens. Anything else you want to talk about as far as this card goes, Cole? I mean, what a card, right? Ooh.
Dude, I was thinking, like, everyone thinks it's so stacked, but imagine Lawler, Ponzinibbio never fell off this card. Like, this card is so sick. Like, I'm so jealous you're going to this live.
Yeah, they replaced that with Perry and,
yeah,
you know, like, that's like the action welterweight fight for the prelims. And then we also have Brown and Saunders. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm picking a pretty good card to go to, right, Cole? Like, it's pretty damn good, right?
Well, yeah, and then I forgot, too, you were mentioning it, too, when we were talking, like, this card's gonna be over around like 10 p.m. Vegas time. Like,
I know. That's
sweet, instead of 1 a.m. on our time always. Like,
it's crazy, right? Like, I think we're gonna get there at 3 p.m. or something, and then we're out by probably 9:30, 10. It's gonna be sweet, and we're in Vegas, so it's gonna be a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm excited, man. I have a really cool week booked ahead, doing a lot of fun things. So I'm really, really excited for this weekend. I mean, I think I've earned a break, guys. Like, as you guys know, I grind my ass off here. So every day is a grind, but I love what I do, man. And it's pretty sweet that I'm going to get to see this card. It's like a nice Christmas present for myself here. All right, let's talk a little bit about UFC Washington, D.C., Cole. I didn't get a chance to talk about it with you yet on the podcast. I obviously broke it down yesterday in full, talking about all the fights. So if anyone wants to, they can just go back to yesterday's podcast. But I do want to get Cole's thoughts on a few different things here. As far as Rozenstruik and Overeem goes, what do you think of the stoppage?
I'm fine with it. Like, that lip, that cut, that was so bad. And then Overeem looked out of it. Like, the way he fell. And then Mergulato was smart there. He did not wave it off with the punch. He waved it off when Overeem got up and he was stumbling and had to grab a hold of the fence to stay up. And that's when Mergulato waved the fight off. I had no problem with the stoppage. I think it was a good stoppage. Like, I don't know why people are complaining about it, really.
I think it's people that had tickets on Overeem. I mean, a lot of people feel like they got kind of robbed. And, you know, it is what it is. He didn't win the fight. Like, it's a 25-minute fight. It's not a 24-minute, 56-second fight. He got caught. The lip ripped right open. The referee's job is to protect the fighter. I don't like the fact Rozenstruik walked away. And that was not a smart call. I think some referees would just let the fight go to the belt. Look at the OSP and Dominic Reyes fight goal. Like, that's a perfect example of that happening. But I'm fine with the stoppage. Now, Rozenstruik versus Ngannou seems like a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, I think it has to happen. I think Rozenstruik and Ngannou is a way better fight now than Ngannou-Volkov. I think Volkov kind of lost the chance at Ngannou, which might be a good thing for him. But
yeah, I'm with you on that one. Like, he just didn't – it didn't seem like he really wanted that fight. And I can't blame him. Who wants that smoke, right? Like, who wants to fight Ngannou except for Rozenstruik? He's the only guy who's like, I really want to fight Ngannou. I really want to have a good fight here. Someone just said Hooper or Tamer. Go back and listen to the show, but we both picked Hooper. I don't want to talk about the Comey band. I think the 10-8 round was justified anyways, Cole. I think the draw was a good call. Now, the Rothwell Struve fight, I talked about this yesterday. Man, I mean, you got to feel bad for Struve's testicles, man. I mean, those were some brutal shots. There's been some controversy now. Apparently, Dan Merluata told him, hey, you should make it to the end of the round. There's only a few seconds left, and we'll see how the decision goes. Because it would have been a technical decision if it went to the end of the second round. But he ended up fighting and getting finished. You think it should be a no contest? You think it's to run it back? What do you think they do here? I think it's probably going to stand as a TKO, but I don't want to see it run back, but I'm just curious what your thoughts are.
Yeah, it's interesting because Dan tried to hide his mic, but it still picked up some stuff. And he was basically like, look, you got like 40 seconds left. I think you're winning both rounds. Finish the round and then say you can't continue, go to a technical decision. No ref should ever tell a fighter
awful
what he thinks the scorecards are.
Because yeah. So went after Michael Page recently, said some nasty stuff about him. I'm not sure what's going on with Dan Merluata. And the Greg Hardy thing in the summer too, Cole, where he said some stuff. He shook his head when Hardy beat Juan Adams. So I don't know what's going on there. Go back and listen to what? The breakdown of the fight, man. If you guys could parlay two betting underdogs out of the three title fights, who would you pick and why?
I would never, but I'd do Covington, Volkanovski.
I would just take Covington because that's the only of the three. But I'm with you. I'd much rather go with Volkanovski. Kevin Scott, Dan graduated from a Siberian Federal University degree in physical culture and sports. Anything more Russian than that? I don't know, Kevin. But yo, by the way, Kevin, I appreciate the questions. Kevin's like one of the few guys that's been emailing questions, so I really appreciate that, man. A couple other fights here. The Steeman Yadong fight. How'd you score that? I had Stamen winning 29-27, if I'm not mistaken. I think they should run it back. What do you think?
I had Stamen all three rounds. I don't know where Song won a single round.
I think it was
you give the first, but then it's a 9-9. I think round you could possibly give your dog, but then he doesn't even win it. So I don't know how he gets a draw out of that. I don't know if you run it back. I think Stamen wants something higher ranked. I hope it's definitely a fight you could run back. It was an interesting fight, but I don't know. I just thought Stamen won easily. I think it's a bad fight. And his manager, Jason House, tweeted something. The two judges that scored it for Yudong, that was their first time judging a UFC event. And they're boxing judges, and it was, their first,
I don't know if I'm buying that argument. I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's a prelim. I mean, it wasn't a prelim. It was a main card fight. But still, you got to start somewhere, Cole. So they have judged in the past. It's not like the first time they've ever judged MMA. I just think that's a manager trying to win an argument. He's not going to win. I don't see him over –
No.
It was a draw, right? So literally they say no contest because the judges were getting, their feet wet in the UFC. You got to start somewhere, man. How can you get experience? How can we bring in new judges if people are going to criticize them and say, if your guy doesn't win, this guy doesn't have any experience. Well, where are they going to get it from? Anyways, Tendilly Diva, he likes GDR and Colby or GDR and Volk if you had to pick two, Cole. Yeah, I think me and Cole would – oh, that's a good question. Okay, without Colby. I would take none of those, bro. Honestly, I wouldn't take either of them. What do you think, Cole? You see the question there?
Yeah, I'd take neither. I don't like GDR to win this fight at all.
Either. I mean, I've seen some people say that she's got some value. She obviously has striking. We all know that. I just don't see Nunes getting caught, man. I don't see Nunes really losing to anyone. Is there anyone that could beat her right now? Maybe Shevchenko in a trilogy? Maybe? I don't think so either. I think she probably beats her still.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think the only fight that could have been different is Cyborg at 145. Because I think Cyborg fought a dumb fight game plan.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. It was fun to watch.
But I think that's the only fight where it could go different if Cyborg fought her fight. Because I think Cyborg's the bigger fighter. It could have gone different. But at 135, I don't see a single person touch her at 135.
Yeah. A couple other fights here from DC. Thiago Alves loses again. You think he retires?
I hope so. I don't really care to see him fight anymore. He's at HC all the time. Yeah. He should just coach there. I think he already does coaching on the side. If you still want to be an MMA, just coach at ATT.
Yeah, I heard he wants to be a police officer. I saw that somewhere. I don't know why. It's such a dangerous job, and he should have made a lot of money. I mean, he's been in the UFC for 15 years. You would hope he's been good with his money, Cole. So maybe that's his dream and his passion, but I just think he should stick to coaching. It's probably going to be good for him. Bryce Mitchell's twister, sick. Submission of the year, some people are saying. I don't know. I still feel like the Ciryl Gane heel hook over Dontell Mays, man. I mean, you don't see heavyweights get a heel hook. Or even someone mentioned to me the Peruvian necktie by Serkinov. What do you think? Do you think it's the front runner? Or?
I think it's kind of 1A, 1B with that and the Serkinov Peruvian necktie, just because those two are so rare. But then the heel hook by Gane, those three are so rare to see. I don't know. It's that twister, though. That was sweet. But I think Korean Zombie's twister was a lot cleaner and better.
Tendilly Silva, Soriano submits Pechota. LOL, you're clueless. I don't think either of us picked him to win by submission. I think we just picked him to win. But yeah, we both like Soriano in that fight. What else here? Oh, Miradov. Man, what a knockout. And I picked that one too, Cole. I really liked him there by knockout over Trevor Smith. Trevor Smith's chin is just it's not good. Miradov, Dark Horse at 185?
I think he could be. That was a really impressive knockout. That was a vicious knockout. But Trevor Smith's a guy that shouldn't be in the UFC. And the confusing thing about this fight, no one knew the weight class. Some sites had 185. The UFC had light heavyweight. And then they show up on Wayne's and they weigh 185. It's I think he deserves a step up in competition. Let's see what he's made of. Get a guy. The UFC has their own rankings. Get a guy that's they have ranked 20 to 25 and see what happens from there.
Yeah. I think that's it for this card. The Tito Del Rio fight. What was that? Okay. So now the question is, does Tito stick around and does he become the face of Combate America? Or do you think he goes back to Bellator? Because now Ali Abdelaziz is out there saying, you fans want to see Rashad and Tito go at it a third time. I just feel like there's better fights for Tito and Bellator, man. Ryan Bader rematch is interesting. Who's he going to fight in Quebec? There's no one for him to fight.
Well, he signed like a 3-fight deal, so which is – but the funniest thing about that thing is I was watching it, and on the broadcast, they listed Tito's height at 5'8".
Yeah.
And the broadcasts are literally like, Alberto's has a huge height advantage. We've never seen a height advantage this big. Cause, and I'm like, Tito's not 5'8". 5'8's like a featherweight. And then the entire – like, they didn't realize they made a mistake, and they literally thought Tito was 5'8" the entire time. And it's like, come on.
Yeah, you know, listen, Kibachi still has their growing pains. They're trying to get bigger, but yeah, that's a mistake that, you know, they can't make. Tito is 6'2". He's not 5'8". Yeah, I don't even know what to say about the fight. I mean, listen, they had to bring some attention to their promotion. I get that. That's cool. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know what, Cole? Maybe they do Rashad versus Tito and Kibachi, because Rashad's a free agent right now. He wants to come back. I don't think Rashad, he's on a 5-fight losing streak. I will say this, though, it's a winnable fight against Tito. Like, that's a fight he can win. He has won before. They're 1-0-1. In Rashad's favor in the past. They fought twice already. Actually, I did the article yesterday, Cole. I completely forgot they fought back in 2007, and Tom's like, hey, man, they fought already. I was like, oh, yeah, they did. It was a terrible fight. It was a draw. Second fight was better. Rashad was on his nice little run there against the knockout. But anyways, yeah. What else? Liz Carmouche gets cut. Now Bellator is going to sign her. Now, I've already talked about this at length. I don't want to get into it too much. But yeah, I think Bellator is a good spot for her, even though she's not going to fight for the belt, obviously. But it's a good spot, right?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Bellator does. Maybe they do a 135 women's. Yeah, because Carmouche would go 135 and see what happens. But
I'm with you on that one. Did you watch the Ruiz Joshua fight?
I did watch it. Joshua fought a really smart fight.
He looked good, but yeah, Ruiz admits later that he was eating everything on site, partying, drinking a lot of Coronas. I guess they said the trilogy fight. I don't know, Cole. It wasn't a very interesting fight to me, man. I watched it. I was just like, man, this is boring. Like, I do like some of these big boxing fights, but man, MMA is just so much more exciting to me. And I know the main event, obviously, between Overeem and Rozenstruik wasn't very good either. Just wasn't a great weekend for heavyweights in combat sports. Anything else you want to talk about, man? Like, I'm sure there's stuff we missed. What else? I'm sure you got something that's been grinding your gears. If anyone wants to ask questions, feel free. We have a few minutes left. We'll throw them in there. Go ahead. Anything you want to...
Well, what do you think about Cormier saying that Miocic trilogy is not going to happen until June? Like, I don't get why it's taking so long. Both, like, the rematch took so long to do. The trilogy's taking so long to do. Like, if it doesn't happen until June, the heavyweight division has been tied up between those two for 2 years with no other one getting a title fight.
They have had two good fights, but yeah, I know what you're saying. I think, didn't Miocic have like eye surgery or something? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's understandable, but I don't know what to say. I mean, I feel bad for Nagano, though. He's been waiting so long. He needs a fight. You better get a fight soon. I don't know. I saw Curtis Millender guy's fight booked, fighting. I've never heard of this guy, Cole. Moses Murrieta. Never heard of him.
Me either.
You'd assume Curtis wins that fight. I don't know. Anything else?
No, I think we covered everything.
Yeah, I know. I think we're good to go. All right, guys. That's going to be it. If anyone wants to jump in last second, oh, there's a question right there. Marcus, UFC DC peaked at 1.4 million viewers, averaging 1.1 million viewers, according to John Morgan. Solid ratings considering college football competition. What do you think? I'm not like a huge television ratings guru or anything like that, but those do look really good, obviously. The ESPN things helped out. I will say this. The card went a little bit too long. A lot of that had to do with, obviously, them telling the stories of the fighters and their families, like Tracy Cortez, Anthony Rocco Martin. So I think it was understandable in this particular circumstance, but I really hope in the future that they can condense that time down. I really hope we don't get back to that FS1 pacing, Cole, where the card took like 7 or 8 hours to finish sometimes. I really don't hope we don't see that. But yeah, those are obviously really good numbers. Again, me and Cole are Canadian, so we don't – I don't know what you call it. Like, I don't watch college football. Like, I don't really understand you know, how big it is, I guess, because I don't live in the States, but I know it is big down there. But as far as those numbers go, they obviously look pretty good. Anything you want to talk about with that?
Yeah, I think it's impressive too, because I don't think this card was that good at all. Like, for name-wise, like casual fans, like, I don't think it was that good of a card for casual fans to tune in. But, I mean, ESPN's obviously helped, but if you're going to do all those storytelling, like, start the card at 8, not 9, because it didn't end our time until, like, 12:40. Like, the main event didn't end. So, like, that's way too late for anyone. I think cards need to be over by, like, midnight. Be, like, honestly, like, fight nights, I think they should be over by, like, 10 p.m. Like, a hockey game is 7 to 10. Make the whole UFC card over by 10 so that people can still enjoy part of their night. Like, watching the entire UFC card. It literally takes up your afternoon and night some days.
Yeah, I'm totally with you, man. All right, cool. That's it, man. Let's grind, wrap this up. Go ahead.
Twitter, @Kulshall91 this week. I did Volkanovski, Jeff Neal, those are up on BJ Penn. And then I'll have Heinisch and Aldon up there too. And then I have fighter picks for Covington Usman. That's up. And then I'll have Holloway, Volkanovski, and Nunes GDR. Then everything else will be on my social media.
You guys can check me out on Twitter @MMAdamMartin, podcast, MMAoddsMaker.com. Also, I work at BJPenn.com and MMArings.net. Got an article on Jairzinho Rozenstruik and Nagano coming out. Just want to tell all the fans that I really appreciate you guys tuning in today for the show. We got a lot of viewers today, a lot of questions. Love the questions, guys. Keep throwing them in there. Me and Cole really enjoy doing this podcast with you guys. Love talking about the fights. Cole, I can't wait for this card, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. I will be doing, like I said, the podcast the rest of the week. Next week's going to be a little different, but I'm going to figure it out. I'll end up doing the podcast from Vegas somehow, some way. And then me and Cole, I should mention, we'll be back next Thursday to break down UFC Busan. That's the last UFC card of the year. So a little while from there. And then we plan on doing like a year-end recap show the week after that. But we'll talk about that later. All right, Cole, that's it for today, man. Guys, once again, thanks for tuning in. Guys, have a great day. I'll be back tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of the show. Thanks again for tuning in. Have a good one. Bye.